Today, our scripture, the first one, I have many scriptures. I had to laugh when Toddy said about keeping it short, and I'm thinking, I have all these scriptures. Not that I'm going to read them all. But anyway, I thought, oh my, Toddy, you don't know what you're saying. But anyway. But in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Am I saying that right? I always second guess myself. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for sending your precious Son Jesus to be our sacrifice for sin. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us that much, that you would send your one and only Son to be our sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you bring to us. We thank you, Lord, for our health and for, like Marvin said, the beautiful day that we have, that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that, Lord, we would learn from your word today what you would have us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was getting this together, it came to me, Charlie loves the song In the Garden. And there's many reasons why he likes that song, not only because he liked the garden. I think the garden was his time with God, as well as being, you know, growing vegetables, because it was quiet. He didn't have anybody bothering him. He was out there on his own, and I think he really, that was his time with God. But then, you know, Paul tells that story about the guy who said, well, I know what God's name is. His name's Andy, remember? And he said, the chorus says, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. So that's not an official name of Jesus, but I did think about that. All right. So, you know, from the very beginning, when Jesus came to this earth to dwell among us, you know, he came through an immaculate conception. He had no earthly father, physically no earthly father. And when the angel Gabriel came to talk to Mary and told her what was going to happen. And you don't have to turn to all of these if you don't want to. I did get my post-it notes this time and marked them so I don't have to flip. So in Luke, when Gabriel came, Luke 1, 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, from the very beginning, God had Jesus' name set forth, and in the Greek form, Jesus comes from the word Joshua. And Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. So, you know, it's just so appropriate that Jesus should be called Jesus, and he is our Savior. And it also, of course, is Messiah. And that was predicted back in the Old Testament in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, you know, even back in the Old Testament, and that's fascinating when you think about it, that all through the Old Testament there is reference to God being, and Jesus being the Son. And it overlaps because I heard a man, I got on YouTube and was listening, you know, put in there, Jesus' name above all names, and found a man who did a sermon on the identity of Christ. And he talked about how that in the Old Testament, there are so many places that we see the work of God, and it is Jesus. So, I have a reading to do. And this is what actually inspired me to do this, because last week, Paul said, you know, I'm on call. And I said, oh, yeah? Okay. So I thought, all right, he was on call for 2 weeks. And the good Lord saw that he got to be here. And I thought, oh, my, you know, what if he gets a call 8 o'clock Sunday morning and he's gone, right? So you kind of have to be ready to do something. So I found this. It's in our hymnal, but I don't want to give you the number because I get nervous when you follow along. In case I mess up, you won't know this. I'll tell you when I'm done because it's a very nice reading. And it's called Name Above All Names. And, of course, we sang All Hail Power. You could use this as your call to worship type. And then it says, God has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. In Christ, God revealed his faithfulness to us from the beginning of time. So, this takes just a little while. I timed it. Toddy gave me the idea about the stopwatch. So, I timed myself, so I'll see how long it takes. I'm not going to tell you, because you might get up and walk. No, it's not. I'm not going to read the whole book. Okay. In Genesis, Jesus is the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the high priest. In Numbers, he is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And you know that, you know, we hear that story. And I think when God, remember when we talked about the glory of God and how he comes and how he came in a cloud and in the fire, and he sang, you know, Jesus was in there. Jesus was in that cloud and in that fire. In Deuteronomy, he is the city of our refuge. In Joshua, he is the scarlet thread out Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of everything that is broken. And in Esther, he is the Mordecai sitting faithful by the gate. In Job, he is our redeemer that ever liveth. In Psalms, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. And in the Song of Solomon, he is the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, it is Jesus that is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. And in Daniel, he is the fourth man in the midst of the fiery furnace. And that, well, I don't know. I'm going to stop there for a second. If you got to see the production of Daniel up at Sight and Sound, I don't know how many of you saw that, but when they had the scene of those Hebrew children in that fiery furnace, and they showed that fourth, it gives me chills now, thinking about it, that fourth man in the furnace. That was Jesus. He was there with them. In Hosea, he is my love that is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, our Savior. In Jonah, he is the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for a revival. In Zephaniah, he is the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, he is the restorer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is our fountain. And in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Now that's just the Old Testament. Isn't that beautiful, though, to think that Jesus was from the beginning? And the man who was speaking, and I can't remember the man's name. I should have remembered that. Maybe some of you have heard him. In the Old Testament, he was always talking about God, but also talking about Jesus, and it kind of overlapped. And then in the New Testament, it became all Jesus. And then when you think about it, and the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're all together. And I like the little thing, you know, the St. Patrick's Day shamrock, the meaning of the three leaves. You have three leaves, but it's all one flower, one bloom. I don't know if you'd call it a flower, I guess. But, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the three in one. And they overlap. And in the Old Testament, when you see God, you're actually seeing Jesus, because Jesus has always been in the spiritual world. Now, he did not become flesh until the New Testament. And that changes things. And this is what he became in the New Testament. In Matthew, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Mark, he is the miracle worker. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. In John, he is the door by which every one of us must enter. In Acts, he is the shining light that appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. In Romans, he is our justifier. In 1 Corinthians, our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, our sin bearer. In Galatians, he redeems us from the law. In Ephesians, he is our unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he supplies our every need. And in Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you can't say Thessalonians, Thessalonians, he is our soon and coming king. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is our blessed hope. In Philemon, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, it is the Lord that heals the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it is Jesus who has the tenderness of love. In Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000 saints. In Revelation, lift up your eyes, church, for your redemption draweth nigh. He is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That just really spoke to me, and I probably could stop there, but I'm not going to let you off that easy, because the Lord inspired me to do this. So, I had all, you know, different ideas. Of course, we know that he is so many things in the New Testament, and one thing he is, you know, he is the bread of life. He is the cornerstone on which we build our whole faith and our whole life. He also is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. He is the Son of Man coming to be God with us. And we know that that's when he got the name Emmanuel. And I guess I ought to read that, because I wrote the scripture down. And I'm sure I have it marked here. And, of course, the Lord says it better than we do. Okay, Matthew 1:23. Okay. Well, I have this one. Okay. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I'll tell you a little funny story. When I was a teenager, I guess, and I was in the church play in the days. Remember, we had church plays and everybody, and I was so nervous, and we were practicing, and I was having trouble saying, which being interpreted is. And I was stupid. I didn't know that that was, you know, scripture. And I said, could we change the word? And the pastor said, no, we can't change. I thought, oh, okay. I will never forget that. So every time I read that, I think how stupid I was. I'm going to change the scripture so that it sounded easier to say, you know. But anyway. And he also is the teacher. You know, we see pictures of Jesus sitting and teaching the Beatitudes and learning from his feet. It must have been a wonderful time to be able to do that. And think of the thousands of people in that day who came out to hear him because he was such a great teacher. And of course, he was the miracle worker, and he changed the water into wine and healed the sick and, you know, did all the things that anything, blinded eyes were opened and demons were cast out, and he brought light into the world. Before Jesus, think about how the world was just in such darkness. There was no light. And when Jesus came, the light came. And it's kind of neat that at Christmas we think of lights and we think of the star and we think of candles lighting the way, and we think about the sky lighting up and the angels coming and declaring that he's here. He brought such light into the world. Now, when he was here, those were all the things he did for us. He taught, he did miracles, and he dwelt among us. And he did suffer as we suffer. And he did go through things that we go through so he could understand what we go through. And then in his death, he became the perfect Lamb of God. And that's the picture of Jesus that I just think is the most precious. They're all precious, but how he humbled himself unto death, to die on that cross, to give his blood, to actually lay down and love us that much that he would go through all that pain and agony to save us. Because it had to be done. If he wouldn't have come, we'd still be bringing bulls and turtle doves and stuff and giving offering for sin, because there was no offering for sin before that. And I just see somebody back there. I can't believe it. Oh my. Dwayne Strickler and Carol, I did not see you. Were you here when we had announcements? Oh, okay. Well, it's so good to see you. He was here with us as pastor years ago. Yeah. Well, that just blows me away. And here you came. You probably came to hear Paul preach. Well, you'll have to come back another time, you know. Okay. So then, because he became the Lamb, he became our Redeemer. He was able to put everything on the line for us, and that is 1 Timothy. I can get there. I said, you know, those little books always kind of go together for me. I don't know about you, but I have it marked. I had it marked. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, I can't have all these marks and then not find a scripture. Now, see, Dwayne, you threw me all off. I'm going to blame it on him. Gotta blame somebody. might have to ask him to take my word for it. Oh, my. That's always the way. I thought I had him all marked. Okay. Well, he's our Redeemer and our salvation. Of course, now that one's easier to find. And that's in Luke 1:47. Okay. And it says, that can't be right. Wait a minute. 1:47. And my spirit hath rejoiced, in God my Savior. There it is. So, he is our Lamb who actually went to the cross and sacrificed himself for us. And now, after he died on that cross, of course, he's been risen from the dead, and now he's living for us. He died for us, and now he's living, giving us the hope of eternal life. And when we pray, these are the things God just kind of gave me, these four things last night. In his name, which we know are many, he gave us the power of prayer. We pray in his name. He's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And when we pray, we should pray always in Jesus' name. And when we praise his name. The song I sing praises, I never said this little testimony, but anyway, I learned how to use YouTube. So anyway, I got into using getting all these songs, and I was flitting around one day, and I found I Sing Praises by Jensen Franklin, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but he's a very powerful minister, and he was singing that song, actually leading worship that time, and in the middle of that video, he starts to play his saxophone. And I'm going to tell you, I started to cry. It was so touching. Because I was kidding Paul. I said, well, now you know you're going to have to learn how to play the saxophone because that's very powerful. He said, well, I don't think that's going to happen. I said, okay. But, you know, it was so touching. When we praise the name of Jesus and he dwells in the praises of his people. So don't forget that. We also use his name to rebuke the devil. You know, the devil tempted Jesus, and Jesus told him to get behind him and get away from him. And, he tempted him several times there. I think it was three times recorded there. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if you want to fight the devil, because I don't know if you've ever felt the presence of evil. I have had that experience that I would wake up when I was younger. Well, I guess I was a teenager, whatever. I remember waking up and just felt like there was a presence in the room. I don't know what that was all about, but it just felt oppressive and evil. And I remember hearing somebody say that if you are ever fearful and you need help, to just start saying the name of Jesus. And I just started saying the name of Jesus. And I went back to sleep, and the presence was gone, you know. So if you're ever in a position where you don't know how to pray, just pray the name of Jesus, because he's our healer. He's our comforter. He's the mighty God. He is our all in all. He is everything we ever will need in our lives. So we need to call on him. And we just have to thank God for providing him for us. And we need to live in peace. Not only inwardly, but with others. And we all know that he gives us a peace in the time of storm. He gives us peace when everything's going wrong. And he is our comfort. And we know that he is going to bring us through. There's a song, and it's not a Christian song. And when I first heard it, I thought, oh, that's offensive. But, we don't say the word hell very often. But in this song, it says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. And I thought, but if you listen to that song, it says, because if you keep going, you might get through before the devil even knows you're there. And that, you know, talking about an earthly thing that we're going through. And then it says that there are angels waiting to rescue us. And I thought, that's really not too bad a song when you think of all the meaning there. Because we all go through things that we think, oh my goodness, I don't think I can get through this. And in our own strength, many times you can't get through it. The poor people who don't have faith and comfort in God and have no way out and they'll take their life, we know there's a lot of suicides. People just get so fed up with this life. And you know, if you didn't have faith, what would you turn to? People turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to all these things that are not right. But we can always turn to Jesus because he's been there forever and will be there forever. And he's sitting up there, and I don't know about you, but man, I think it'll be a glorious day when we can walk and stand before his throne and every knee will bow. Thank you, Lord. And we know that he is making intercession for us as he sits there by his Father. And that we know that he's the only way. He's the only way. Don't let anybody ever tell you that he's not. Don't think that you can make it by being a Buddhist or any of these other things. You cannot get to him except for Jesus. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all the things you are to us and how you have ministered to our hearts and how you've brought us through the rough times and you've encouraged us when we're discouraged and you've healed our diseases. And we thank you, Lord, for coming. We thank you for Jesus and all the things that go along with the name of Jesus, because he is the name above all names. In Jesus' name, amen.